Welcome back to Getting Down to Brass Tacks. It's Sanka Price here. I'm your moderator today, and our producer is Mr. Ronald Clark. And you are on the air. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Go right ahead. Yes, good afternoon, sir. Go right ahead.
This is Nasa, man.
Hi, Nasa. How are you doing?
How are you? You're a very powerful moderator. I only call you twice a week, but you got Nils and the Johnson, so you got to be powerful. Listen. I called and having Mr. Lee comments that he was making about the bus fare and so on. The truth is that we all know that the private buses do not have to charge no $1.50. Everybody knows it's $2, and they subsidize it. But that is not what I'm talking about. What I'm concerned about, Mr. Lee keeps saying, and Mr. Lee is a very intelligent man I have a lot of respect for. But he keep comparing these private concessionaires with the transport board. You know who owns the transport board, Mr. Price? This is the people of Barbados, mm-hmm. right?
And we've been sinking millions upon millions of dollars in the transport board. And the question is, should we be continuing to do that when we should have a proper regulation with a transport authority regulating the whole system and saving us millions of dollars? It's a question that needs to be asked and answered.
No, we agree, but that's your point. I 100% agree with what you're saying, but this is what I want to say, Mr. Lee. The transport board is owned by the public of Barbados, owned by the people of Barbados. Every government, any government, pump $5 million or $10 million or $50 million, it is the people's money. Mr. Lee really can't be serious that he believes that the concessionaires should get the same rates as the transport board. How can that happen, Mr. Price? The transport board is your taxpayers' money and mine and some of theirs too. But that is the transport board. So you cannot tell the transport board that if they get an extra $7 a trip as per person, as Mr. Lee said, that the concessionaires should get the same $7 per trip too. I can't agree with that, Mr. Price, for the simple reason that the transport board is owned by the people of Barbados and the private concessions that's their own business and company. So even though there might be some concessions that the government should give to them, you cannot get the same rights as the transport board. In other words, the transport board is saying more, the government is more to run the transport board for anybody paying 1 cent. If I go in the... Fortunately, I can still drive, thank God. But if I go down the road now and pull out my ID card, I step board a transport board bus if it's available, and they don't have to pay a cent. I cannot do that with the private vehicles. So I want Mr. Lee to understand, yes, he should argue and fight for some concessions that they think they deserve. But stop linking the concessions that goes to the transport board. I'm believing that the same concessions should go to the private vehicles, private SUVs. It can't work. It can't work, Mr. Price.
Fair enough.
Because it would not make no sense. You know what? You said something there too that I got to call it now. When you said about the people in London, by the government, see, Caribbean mobilizing themselves to get this British government to make some adjustment as far as taking
Prime Minister May made an about turn.
Right. No. Because of the organized group. I believe that what Mr. Lee is saying should apply to the tourist sector. That all the people who have hotels in Barbados should demand the same rights that Sandals get, or should make it very difficult for the country to function, because it cannot be right. No, I can understand that. But I can't understand how Mr. Lee expects to get the same rights as the transport board is getting. He just can't. Don't get me wrong, Mr. Price. They do a good job. Don't mind, we got little problems with them. But the point is that they cannot get the same rights as the transport board.
Your point is well made, Nasser, but I really think, though, that, you know, this, and I can understand those who are calling and the scores of those who have written us on WhatsApp today about this issue. I can understand the angst that people are feeling they have to pay more money, spend more money now, and their actual salary or wages have not increased. I understand that, and I appreciate their argument. But to my mind, we need to take this discussion to a different level. And that level, as far as I'm concerned, is where are we going from here with our transportation system? We cannot continue, okay? We cannot just continue pumping money into a public transportation system, and we're not getting the type of returns, in other words, the quality of service and whatnot. And then at the same time, we're spending all this money into the public transport system. We have more and more people with minibuses and licenses just being given out or being bought, in terms of being licensed, you know, licenses going out. And the whole thing about it is that there, if you have so many minibuses on the streets,
yeah,
and you have so few buses, then there must come a time where you have to sit down and say, look, this foolishness can't continue. We have got to rationalize the system. Now, to the government's defense, they have started looking at a rationalization of the system, and I can't remember the route that it's working on, where you're trying to let the minibuses run on a particular route as if they're with a certain scheduling and whatnot, like if they were transport board buses. But I'm saying we need to rationalize it right across the board. We're taking too long to do these things, and all the while, people are suffering.
Mr. President, you have to start taking politics out of a lot of things.
But that's the first problem with the transport board.
I know that. I know transport board like they know me. But there's things I can't say and will not say because I know what will happen if I say them. Not to me, Connor, but you can't do me that. I ain't really friend for nobody. But I don't want people to get themselves into trouble. I know the public transport board. And people keep warning these people about these problems. I don't, because I don't answer them very easy to call. Not that I frightened. But the transport board problems could be solved and solved very quickly too. But, Mr. Price, it is all to do with politics. And before I go, let me tell you this real quick. There's a youngster working in the transport board. He ain't too young, but he's a youngster. And he's pulling a lot of buses now that were dumped, according to them, out of the bush and repairing them and refurbishing them, putting them back in top condition that they can run again. You know they don't want him to do it. You understand that, Mr. Price? So now we tell them the idea. They ask him a party, but how you get all of this knowledge and things to do this thing? You know we tell them, I train with the best. And you know who the best is? Mohammed Nasser.
All right, sir.
So all I'm saying to you, Mr. Price, is that yes, we should give concessions to the many buses and so on, but they cannot expect to argue. And usually transport boards are in the argument. Mm-hmm. They've got to decide what they want, challenge what they want, but forget the transport board because they do not own the transport board. We own the transport board, including them. I go on, Mr. President.
Okay, sir. Have yourself a great day. We'll try to take one more call before we break for the latest. You're on the air. Go right ahead.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir.
Yes, Mr. Bryce. I'm calling about the transport board.
Yes.
I would like to know if all the Marco Polo buses that have the transport board have the same problem. That them down. That is the question that I would like to ask. Because if all can have the same problem, and if that's the case, I think for right now, mechanics should be able to utilize parts, offer one that might be the worst, and fix some of the buses back there.
But isn't that what's going on?
Cannibalizing
of some of the buses to repair the others?
Pardon me?
We heard about the cannibalizing of some of the older buses to fix the newer ones. Well, to fix the ones that were at least working. That's what we heard. Years
ago. I didn't hear it. That's why I called. Oh. But I think that should do what they should do.
Okay. Any other issues, sir?
No, sir.
All right. Thank you very much for holding and for your contribution. I just want to clear here, Morris Lee just messaged me to, and this is for Mr. Nasser. Mr. Lee is saying that he's not advocating for the same $7 that the transport board is getting. That is basically misleading the direction of his contribution. He's just arguing that the PSVs should be given duty-free concessions and whatnot, because that would be a way of cutting down some of their expenses. So he is on, so Mr. Lee is really on the same wavelength as you, Mr. Nasser. It's a private business. They're running a private business. And therefore, he doesn't expect those concessions. And still on the thing of the transport board, for those who are just wondering about, and I suspect this is going to be dealt with in the latest, which is going to come up in the next 2.5 minutes, there was no injuries at all with that bus that caught a fire. Based on the information that I've received so far, is that the bus was stationary at the bus stop when the driver was alerted by passengers of smoke coming from the rear of the vehicle. The driver switched off the engine, investigated and saw the smoke, and he tried to extinguish the fire in the engine compartment. But as you know, it still caught a fire. There were 15 people on board the bus at the time, but no one was hurt. So, it's one less bus, unfortunately, on the roads. And it's a problem, of course, that the Transport Board has to deal with. But as I said, I would think that that is going to be one of the news items in the latest that is going to be thoroughly dealt with by Stetson Babb and his team. To Brass Tacks, good afternoon. This is Sanka Price here with producer Ronald Clark. I'll go straight to the WhatsApp and... before I go back to the phone lines, and that's because we have so many of these messages. Good afternoon, Mr. Price. The announcement in Parliament about the Hilton sale didn't just come about. It was forced out of him, this him being the Minister of Finance. And we're going to hear a lot more things in this country. We've really hit rock bottom. May God help us all. And this person who calls himself a half DLP supporter and a half BLP supporter, they're saying, could you envisage hiring a manager to run your interests and he or she not informing you about things as they start to sell off your assets? And would you equally not expect him or her to indicate who are the new interests and the attorneys involved in taking over your said interests? Don't forget, the manager was hired by you to work for you and manage on your behalf. And I mean, if we're clocking here, we will realize that this person is saying that it's talking about a government being elected by the people, working on behalf of the people, supposed to look after the interests of the people, doing things and not telling the people what they are doing. And it is a concern, but as I keep saying, everybody operates differently. We have never had a leader like Mr. Frondell Stewart. He doesn't say very much. And when he does talk, he tends not to address some of the issues in a most forthright manner. We had a situation before with Mr. Owen Arthur, who generally used to tell you exactly what was going to happen, how it was going to happen, when it was going to happen. And he kept you informed, but even then, we complained. The point about it is that it's two different styles of leadership. It does not necessarily mean that what the Frondell administration is doing is the wrong thing. It's just that they're not communicating in the way that they should be communicating. And don't forget Mr. Innes, Donville Innes, Minister of Commerce, has always maintained that the government is really not communicating as they should be. One of the interesting things that came out of the news, and before I go back to the phone lines again, one of the interesting things that came out of the news was the statement by Ms. Sandra Ford that we haven't had any new buses since 2006. Clearly, the question that we need to ask is why? Why did this take place? And, you know, that is one thing that has to be asked and answered. And I would really love to hear the answer. Anyhow, we go back to our phone lines. You are on the air. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. You're on the air. Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. You're on the air.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you, sir.
There's a couple of things I'd like to see happen when the government changes, because obviously it will change.
Is that so obvious?
It is obvious to me.
Oh, it's obvious to you. Okay.
Yeah. Might not be obvious to you because you and a very salvious are campaigning, so I don't expect you to say anything. But I just want to say this. The new government, right, Sanka?
Mm-hmm.
I would like to see them introduce a Ministry of Property Management. You with me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you go ahead. Ministry of Property Management. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And this ministry would deal strictly with maintaining government buildings. The only two places that they may not be able to maintain is the hospital, because the hospital is a very unique kind of place. So they can't do the hospital, nor the prison. But all other government buildings, there should be a ministry of that kind of ministry to take care of the government buildings.
But you really think that we should be paying a minister, a separate individual, in a ministry, just to do that? Why can't every ministry, because not every ministry has different departments, like the Ministry of Health, for example, they have like the hospital, but they have the polyclinics, they have a variety of other units under, like vector control and other areas under their portfolio. Yeah. So why they should have a maintenance department, or there could be even a central maintenance department which can be fed from all government departments, can be on a scheduled basis, have certain maintenance things being done. It is not rocket science.
Thank you. Well, that's right.
You know, I don't believe that we should have a specific ministry for it. I just think that different units. I remember when Dennis Hunt was the maintenance manager at the Frank Walker building, you know, and they had a maintenance program there. And in fact, I think they still have a maintenance department there.
Let me ask you this. If you have a ministry dealing strictly with these kind of things, don't you think you will save money and at the same time have the buildings properly maintained? And when I say the buildings, I'm only talking about the buildings. I'm talking about like roads leading up to the buildings or roads around the buildings, the foliage, gardens, whatever, around the buildings, property maintenance. That kind of thing. You don't think that the government would save money?
Certainly, because maintenance, that's what maintenance does. It saves you money.
But
at the end of the day, it's like any property owner. I mean, as long as you own a house or you're responsible for a house, and you know, you have to take care of it. If you have a car, if you have a bicycle, if you do not take care of it, it can break down. Something can go wrong.
It costs him money long run.
It can cost him money long run. So it makes sense to have proper maintenance. And I think that is one of the major problems that we have.
Thank you. Let me just cross you. And that is exactly why I'm suggesting that they have, if not a ministry of property maintenance, they have a department that deals strictly with property maintenance to look at all the government buildings, to maintain the air conditioners, the if they've got cracked walls, whatever. Just at home in the States, and I'm sure you may have noticed, because you live in the States anytime, Sanka?
No, please.
Let me tell you, in the States, right? In the States, they've got a person they call the super. And they call him the super because that's shortened.
Supervisor.
Shortened as a superintendent.
Oh, superintendent, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and his job is to maintain the building. Whatever in that building that has to be done, property maintenance, he maintains it.
But it happens here too, you know. There are people who are responsible, like, for villas.
Mm.
You know, because, you know, we rent a lot of villas here in Barbados.
And I
know because...
And condos.
Condos. And this person is responsible for it. And if... Because my dad was involved in that sort of work as well at one point.
It happens.
All right, before you go on, this person here is saying all government buildings fall under the NHC, but we all know how it goes there already.
Yeah.
So and this other person here is saying the Ministry of Housing and Lands check their various departments. This person is also basically suggesting the same thing, that all these government buildings fall under the NHC. And and that they're the ones who respond for that. But you're going to make your next point, sir.
Yeah. Now, I always hear Morris Lee coming on the air and talking. One time it was $5 for children and $7 for adults. Now it is $7 for children and $9 for adults. I would want him to come back to the areas, or text you if you want to, and tell you, explain to us, to you and all the listeners, how he arrived or what happens that causes these bus fares that the government pay the transport board, what causes them to be what he says they are. I would like him to explain that to me. And if the minister is so gracious as to come on this, come on the phone today to talk to you, I would want you to ask the minister to explain it for me. If indeed Mr. Lee is correct, explain how the government pays $9 for an adult and $7 for a child.
Mr. Lee, from his explanation that I would have heard, this is not the first time he said so. I had him on a program here sometime last year where he explained that when you look at the amount of subsidy, the amount of money that's spent on the transport board, and you do the arithmetic on the whole matter, that you can see that it comes down to, per passenger, this is what they are paying to transport passengers.
But I want you to explain the payment. Break it down.
You take your total. All right. I will see if I can get him, but basically he explained it before. And
I heard him last year. And he spoke about what the government gives to the transport board, but he never actually broke it down. I want him to explain it to us. Let me know how the government is paying $9 for the transport board for adults and $7 for children. I would like that explained, because I can't understand. And if the minister is, like I said, if he's so gracious as to come on the phone with you today, I would like you to ask him that same question. And with reference to the moderator that is sick, I can't remember his name. Call his name, Sanko. You spoke about him earlier.
Who's it? Glenn Murray.
Glenn Murray, yeah. I've been trying to get to Glenn Murray, and they can't get through to him. So I know he listens, and I would want to wish him very full and speedy recovery. Let us get him back on the areas so we can talk about the port. Got some new and exciting plans coming up at the port that I'm sure he'd be interested in hearing.
Okay, sir. Thank you for your call.